talk about the scenario in your novel Breakpoint. There's a frightening plot there. What you basically have are people who resent the new technology and want to sever the global ties that the new technology have set up. But how plausible is that? People have been saying that the internet is just months away from collapse since it began.
I think it's very plausible that a group could, for whatever motivation, achieve destruction in the real world or disruption in the real world by things that they do on the internet. The United States government has proved to its own satisfaction that you can attack the electric power grid through cyberspace and not only turn electricity off but permanently damage generators. And if you want further proof of that, look at the ad that the United States Air Force ran last year, where in the ad a power blackout occurs. And then the words underneath the image say, sometimes a power blackout is just a power blackout, .. United States Air Force.
But when you say that the U.S. has already proved to its satisfaction, what do you mean?
The United States government has conducted experiments attempting to hack into live electric power grids and has done so successfully. They've also, on controlled electric power grids, been able to hack in, seize control of a generator, and permanently damage the generator.
You're a novelist. Can you give me a really plausible scenario?
Well, I think there's a very plausible scenario that China, Russia, or somebody takes down the electric power grid and keeps it down for a month. And every time we try to reboot, they stop it. And they do actual physical damage over the internet to key parts that aren't easily replaced. Think about what it would be like in this country for 30 days to go by with most major cities not having an electric power system. It's bad enough when you get a hurricane or a thunderstorm or something that knocks power off in a city for 24 or 48 hours. But imagine all the major metropolitan areas in the summertime without air conditioning, without lights, without ATM machines, without supermarkets running. That's a very realistic scenario that I know could be done. And one of the reasons it could be done is that we have not secured the connections from the internet to the electric power grid.
Have hackers tried to infiltrate or attack military computers and networks?
Oh, yes. That's been going on for years. And there was the famous case many, many years ago. I believe that was 1998, when the United States was planning to deploy aircraft to the Middle East in response to something that Iraq was doing. At the exact time that that deployment was about to take place, the fighter bases, the Air Force bases, were all hacked, and control was lost of the computer systems on those fighter bases. At the time, we assumed this was an Iraqi attack. Later, we found out it was two 14-year-olds, one in Israel and one in San Francisco.
So these were basically pranksters. Do you think we have more to fear from pranksters or from al-Qaeda?
I think we have more to fear from China and Russia. What we've seen in the course of the last 12 months is the United States government admitting publicly that both China and Russia have hacked their way into secret computer systems in the Pentagon, including the Secretary of Defense's own computer system. There are reports that either Russia or China was able to get into the classified internet within the Pentagon.
To what end? We're talking about government people, not just Russian hackers.
Right. We're talking about the government. Toward all sorts of ends, mainly espionage. They are able to go in, find out classified information that in the past they would have had to find a spy and suborn a spy, pay a spy. Now they just hack their way in and copy the information they need. Perhaps they copy the drawings, the engineering drawings for new weapon systems, so that they can reverse engineer the weapon system. In other words, they can make the aircraft or the missile without having to pay for the R&D that we've conducted. Or maybe they find our war plans, and in the event that there's ever hostilities, they know what we're going to do.
So instead of human intelligence, the big concern now is cyber intelligence.
That's right. And there's every reason to believe the United States is very vulnerable, that other countries are sufficiently good at attacking us that we are losing vast amounts of information every day.
And you've also suggested that cyber terrorism actually might be part of al-Qaeda's mission?
Well, I think it's conceivable that someday al-Qaeda will attack in cyberspace rather than using a truck bomb. They haven't yet, but that doesn't mean that they can't or somebody else can't. What we do know is that every day people are making hundreds of millions of dollars in cybercrime, and that nation states are taking vast amounts, petabytes, terabytes of information down from U.S. corporate and government networks. Every country is looking to get the corporate secrets of major corporations, whether those corporations are American or British or German. And as far as we can tell, every major corporation in the world has been successfully hacked. And that means their R&D has been stolen, their price lists have been stolen, their customer lists have been stolen, their new product releases have been stolen. And that gives the people who are doing it real competitive advantage.
So why do you think we're so vulnerable? Is the problem inherent in the structure of the net, or is it just that so many of us are using poorly written and poorly secured software, and that Microsoft's operating system powers most of the world's computers and is a prime target for hackers?
Well, it's very clear that Microsoft's operating system has been filled with holes for years. They say they've tried to improve it. It's still filled with holes, and they're constantly having to fix it. But fundamentally, the nature of the Internet is that it cannot be secured because it is, by definition, connecting billions of people, and anyone can get on it and connect to anything, anywhere. And that's a definition for insecurity. Software, as we are able to write it, we humans are able to write it, has lots of errors. And people can find those errors. They can use those errors to access things they're not supposed to get into. Maybe someday software will be written by software and will reduce the number of errors. But today, it's very, very easy to find a way to get in. And governments are very good at this. As good as criminals are, as good as the teenagers are, they are very much amateurs compared to governments. There is no silver bullet, but I think one thing that comes through very clearly is that not everything that is now connected to the public Internet should be connected to the public Internet. We talked earlier about electric power grids. I have never understood why the electric power grids have to be connected in any way to the Internet. And yet they are, because it's cheaper for the electric companies. And the electric companies say, well, okay, we're doing things to secure the connection. But anything that is connected to the Internet, whether it's your personal computer or the government's networks, anything that's connected to the Internet can be hacked.
I could see a value in connecting the national power grid. I mean, there's a way to crunch data if all of those are linked.
No, certainly. I think the risks are too great. What I've been suggesting for years, and people don't like this idea for ideological reasons, is that the notion that everything should be connected to one public Internet is crazy. That we can and should take some functions and put them in private networks that never touch the public grid, so that some guy in a cyber cafe in Pakistan cannot connect to it by going through the Internet. And I think that's true of the electric power grid. I think it's true perhaps of certain government activities. And there are ways, if you want to spend the money and you want to take the time, to authenticate that the person who's logging in is in fact the person you want to log in and isn't an assumed identity. And if you have a network like that, plus additional security measures, then you have some moderate confidence that the network is secure.
But isn't anonymity also part of what makes the Internet so exciting and so great?
Absolutely. And we need to have an anonymous Internet. It's the way human rights people in China are able to operate. It's the way all sorts of things that are good and positive happen. We need to have that anonymous Internet. But it doesn't have to control the electric power system. It doesn't have to access your medical records. The Wild West uncontrolled Internet should stay the way it is, but certain functions should migrate off of it. Now, the Space Agency for years has had very high standards about software, because you don't want software on a manned spaceship going wrong. And so they have had good luck. They don't allow things to rush off into their computers. They test them, they test them, they test them. So there's a trade-off between this quick innovation, throw it out there, let it run, and reliability. And for things like NASA, we need to have higher standards. But we don't want to get rid of that great innovation, that kid in the basement coming up with a great killer app. We want to keep that. We just need to recognize that all of the internet doesn't have to be treated the same when it comes to security.
I guess the trouble is that when you've got software that is so secure, like NASA's, for instance, it doesn't have the opportunity to progress at the same rate as the Wild West unsecured net, where the collective minds of millions are at work.
That's right. And we want that collective minds of millions. Well, we want the people doing the great things they're doing on fun, innovative, consumer-oriented software. But we don't necessarily want that happening with the software that runs the Pentagon.
But the software that runs the Pentagon lags behind the best software that's flourishing in the Wild West of the rest of the web.
Well, that may be a price that we have to pay. We used to have government-controlled software on government systems, and we decided that it was cheaper to use commercial off-the-shelf software. And so most of the Pentagon and everywhere else in the government runs on Windows. The result being that China and Russia have been able to get into the Pentagon and steal us blind.
Even if the Pentagon were to develop its own very secure net, any time it hooked up to the regular net, it would become vulnerable, would it not? And it can't really live in its own parallel universe forever.
Well, that's exactly what happened 2 months ago. The people working in the Pentagon on the real unclassified internet were downloading things and putting them on their thumb drives and then moving their thumb drives over to classified computers. Well, guess what? The Russians figured that out. And the Russians came up with a virus that looked for Pentagon internet addresses and then looked for computers that had thumb drives on them and downloaded a virus onto those thumb drives. And the virus then walked across the room and got into the secret and top secret network of the Pentagon.
So the hope of a separate network is really a false hope, right?
No, I think if you are going to have a separate network, you have to have some real discipline on it.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Pentagon did after the fact was went around with cement and actually cemented up the USB connections on their computers so that people couldn't use thumb drives. If you are thinking from the beginning about having a truly secure network, you won't have to use silly putty.
So what is your prevailing mood? Do you think that the country is, the authorities are now taking this seriously and taking action, or are we still whistling in the dark?
Well, Obama has said some of the right things, and he certainly has some advisors who understand the problem. But he has yet to announce his own cyber strategy. He's yet to announce how he's going to structure the government to achieve cybersecurity. And so I think we all need to keep an eye on that space. It's obviously not as important as the housing crisis, and we can all forgive the president for not getting around to it yet. But someday soon, we need to hear from the Obama administration as to what they're going to do about this, because we can't leave things the way they are.
Can you just tell me in the last minute that we have about your own company or what your clients are looking for you to do for them?
The great thing about being a security consulting firm is that you don't tell people what you do.
It's a pretty good business, huh?
Unfortunately, cyber defense is a good business, but nowhere near as good as cyber offense.
Richard, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Brooke.
WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. They're one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.